Welcome to the First Baptist Church Podcast, a ministry of First Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. To find out more about FBC Cumming, please visit us online at fbccumming.org.
Well, good morning. If you have a Bible, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5 together. And as you do, I hope you're having a good summer. It's moving quickly. It's a fleeting opportunity. Maybe you've taken some rest or had a vacation. Maybe you're looking forward to a vacation. These times, these seasons, give us a moment to maybe reflect a little bit on where we've been, where we're at, and where God is leading us. And that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about this morning. So if you have your Bible, we're going to continue. If you'll stand with me out of reverence for the reading of God's word, 2 Samuel chapter 5, it reads like this. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.' When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. May God bless the reading of his word, and you can be seated. So today, we finally see David become king. And if you've been tracking with us for a while, you know this kingship has been a long time coming. David has been through a lot. It seems like scholars say that it's been about 10 to 15 years from the time that David was anointed by Samuel to the time his coronation day happens here that we just read and becomes king. So that's a long time, and it was very dramatic. This is an enormous moment in David's life, and I'm going to be showing you a few different vignettes, a few different snapshots from this time in David's life. Because this is such an enormous moment in David's life, an enormous moment in Israel's history and God's timeline of salvation story, the Bible timeline, but it's also an enormous moment that we can learn so much from. I don't know if you've had a chance to get away. Some of you like the beach. Some of you like the mountains. I kind of prefer the mountains. Don't hold it against me. We could still be friends if you prefer the beach. But some of you even enjoy this thing called hiking, and there's bodily and torture involved. But for me, the destination has to be worth the difficulty, right? And my cousin invited us to get away to the mountains with them, and we were going to go for a short hike. That was the plan. And we have a picture of my wife and I, and this is a great picture. Things look great in this picture, except my wife says, you can see the look on my face because we had just been on quite the adventure to get to that destination. It was a perilous journey, you might say. Some people were ready to get out of the car and take the picture. Some people were just like, no, I need a moment, right? There was a lot that went into making that happen. And it's similar for David. David has been through so much. As you read the turmoil that he has faced in his life, and now he's at the pinnacle. He's been ordained king. He's in a position of power and prominence, success. It's kind of a finally arrived moment. Have you had some of those moments? Maybe when you graduate or when you get married, maybe when you start a family or purchase a home, maybe when you achieve some sort of success, land that job or retire. Maybe you hit a milestone birthday recently that you feel like you can just kind of pause and catch your breath. And it gives us a moment to reflect. That's what we ought to do in these times of success. You don't have much time, but it's a time to reflect, to think about what God has done, where he's brought you. From the mountaintop, you can see, hey, I was here and he brought me here. You can also assess your present and think, how is God leading me right now? And then you can also see maybe the path ahead. And that's what we're talking about today. So if you go to 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, you will see that there's a fuller picture of what has gone into David's story. It says, the war between the house of Saul and the house of David lasted a long time. David grew stronger and stronger, while the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. There are some things that we are going to have to see in the life of David. David grew stronger out of his difficulty, and it set him up for success. We're going to see out of David's life three things, three key disciplines for times of success. First, if we're going to begin a season of success, transition from one chapter of our lives into the next, we're going to have to ask God to help us see our past clearly. Ask God to help you see your past clearly. This is important for starting well in particular and leading wisely. I'm going to spend most of the time this morning talking about this very bullet of seeing our past clearly, because it's so important. It gets so many of us tripped up. We all have some positive memories from our past. Can you think of some times in your life when God was clearly leading you? When he saved you from something? When he saved you? When he brought you to faith in him? When he was protecting or providing for you? It's worth celebrating and rejoicing over those things. We're going to see that David does some of that. But even as we talk about our pasts and maybe some of our wounds and pains, I know that not everybody's on the mountaintop right now. Some of you feel like you're in the valley of despair, potentially. And I want to encourage you. This message is for you as well. You can take heart. The truth is that we've all got things that we're wading through, difficulties that we face, big and small, at all times. Maybe there's some of you here this morning, even the very mention of the past is something that's so painful you don't want to talk about it. And I understand that as well. But I would encourage you to not stay wounded by your past. There is this magical thing that Jesus can do. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I like how Charles Swindoll puts it. Our past is really like an art gallery. As you travel the corridor of the past, there are pictures on the wall. Some will bring great joy, but there are others that will bring great sorrow. And there may be pictures of people or events in your past. You can ask Jesus to travel with you into your past and ask him to invade that space. Ask him to clean house. Ask him to remove the pictures that bring nothing but despair and discouragement and defeat in your life. Have him leave the big picture of what he was doing in that season, the big murals, but have him take down those things that don't do you any good to think about. You can do that by God's grace, and he'll do that for you to help you move forward. And that's actually what David did. See, David didn't just wallow in his pain in this moment. He took to his prayer journal. By God's grace, we have Psalm 18. And it seems so clear to me that Psalm 18 is giving us a snapshot of what's going on in David's life in these moments. Look with me at Psalm 18. I'm just going to read a few verses. The whole thing's about 50 verses, but there's so much great stuff in Psalm 18. You might want to read it later today. Verse 25 says this, "To the faithful you show yourself faithful." He's thanking God for what he's brought him through. "To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the devious, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty or proud. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." You might want to memorize that one. With your help, God, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. He even gives God credit for teaching him how to fight and battle, giving him victory. Verse 32, he says, it is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. Verse 35, he says, you make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. Verse 39, he says, you armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries before me. Verse 48, he says, you're the God who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. You, from a violent man, he's talking about Saul, from a violent man, you rescued me. And then verse 49, therefore, I will praise you. I will sing the praises of your name. So David didn't let his past just totally defeat him. He celebrated what God had done and how God had rescued him, given him what he needed to endure that time of suffering. David certainly had some bad days, some moments of discouragement, times when he thought, oh no, I'm going to die at the hands of Saul. This is it for me. There were times, just to paint a picture, his wife was taken from him and given to another man. There were times when he and all of his men had their families kidnapped by the enemy, and they were crying till they couldn't cry anymore, and some of them were even blaming David during that time of difficulty. His best friend Jonathan died the same day that King Saul died, so he's been through so much. And then there was infighting that we read about, this long, drawn-out war that he had to endure and wait patiently, but David turns all of that to praise to God. See, David allowed his suffering to bend his heart toward God rather than away from him. Let me say that again. David allowed his suffering to bend his heart toward God rather than away from him. I read a book recently by Paul Tripp called How People Change. And just really compelling read. If you haven't read it, amazing stuff. It can, in some ways, be summed up by this picture. There's a picture of three trees that you're going to see here. There are three trees. There's one on the left that's thriving. It's got fruit that's being produced. It looks healthy. It's flourishing in the heat, drawing its nourishment beneath the surface from that other tree, the cross of Christ. What Christ has done is nourishing it and satisfying it, giving it life, even in the midst of the heat. The heat is meant to represent suffering. We all experience suffering. Toby Mac has a song called Scars. My daughter's exposed me to all kinds of music. I love it. But Toby Mac has a song that says, you're not alone. We've all been there. Scars come with living. And so the sun falls on everybody, and it can either scorch you or it can become a tool like God intends for your growth. The weak and malnourished tree, if you notice, has access to the cross, but it's not taking in that nourishment. Instead of believing the truths and the promises of God, instead of drawing on Christ's strength to sustain it during the adversity, that tree is withering, is malnourished, is weak, and dying. The tree on the right could be a believer or a non-believer. We have to turn to Christ in our affliction. We have to turn to him and trust him no matter the circumstances. David allowed his circumstances to strengthen him and cause him to depend on Christ all the more. Sometimes we totally misunderstand life. We don't understand that that's the world we're living in. In God's good but broken world, it's normal for us to encounter difficulty. Some of us, we just go from one difficulty to the next, complaining and saying, oh, if I could just this, if I could just that. And there will never be a time that we are without pain or adversity. And so we've got to draw our strength from Christ. Look what Paul Tripp says. He says this, we forget that God's primary goal is not changing our situations or relationships so that we can be happy, but changing us through our situations and relationships so that we will be what? Holy. God's design in our pain enables us to look back and say, He loves me enough to take me where I never would have wanted to go in order to produce in me what I never could have achieved on my own. We understand this in the gym. When we go report to a personal trainer, they're gonna put us through a little bit of pain, right? But we'll be stronger in the end. We get it with our bodies, but we don't always understand it spiritually. Listen, God means for us to grow the most in the painful seasons of life we are likely to understand the least. So take heart. If you're walking through adversity, there will come a time that you're beyond it. There will come a time when you can celebrate how God has grown you during that season. And you can write what David wrote in Psalm chapter 30, verses 11 and 12. He said, "You, God, have turned my mourning into dancing. You've turned my wailing into joy." And that can be true for you as well. So if we're going to lead wisely, if we're going to start well, if we're going to be at the mountaintop of success, first we need to get a grasp on our past and see our past wisely. But we also need to see our present wisely. Ask God to help you see your present circumstances wisely. I remember sometimes you enter into seasons where you think, oh, now my suffering is done, right? I've achieved things. Now things will get easier. I remember my wife with our first pregnancy being very, very sick. I mean, she wasn't just sick during the first 3 months of that pregnancy. She was sick and nauseous the entire pregnancy. And milkshakes helped her, but they helped me too during that time a lot. But I remember very clearly in my naivety, the day that my first child was born and that night, just thinking to myself, honestly, I'm so glad that roller coaster of adversity, it was over. You parents in the room are laughing because just a few hours later, in the middle of the night, there are needs to attend to that will not wait. And I was on a roller coaster that had just begun, and there was not going to be an exit to this one, right? So David experiences a bit of that as well in his story. We never get to stay at the mountaintop for a long time before the needs of the hour are pressing in on us. So what did David do? Here's three things that David did in regards to his presence that we can learn from. In chapters 5 and chapter 6, David asked the Lord to give him wisdom. He sought the Lord and asked him to direct his steps. And you and I need to do that as well. Are you doing that? Are you asking the Lord to give you wisdom? He couldn't just rest easy in comfort. He also dealt with some opposition. Anytime that you set out in your heart to do something significant for the Lord, you can expect opposition. We'll see that. And then he also prioritized the things of God. So he wanted to make sure that he honored the Lord first and foremost. Chapter 6, he goes and retrieves the Ark of the Covenant, this holy box that represented God's presence and power among his people. And so he prioritizes the things of God. Let me show you this briefly in the text. So the Jebusites opposed David, and they said, no, we're not having it. We're going to oppose you. And David squashes them in verse 10. And it says in verse 10, David became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. Verse 11 says that a neighboring king even took notice from afar and knew that God was with David and even helped David build a palace for himself. That's amazing. But then in verse 12, we see an important statement. It says, then David knew. After he had squashed this rebellion, it says, then David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. David believed that God was with him. This wasn't the first time that he knew God was with him, but he was absolutely convinced at this point. He knew that God's hand was upon his life. How about you? Are you convinced that Jesus is with you in good times and in bad? Are you certain and absolutely rock solid convinced that he is with you? Jesus has another name. It's called Emmanuel, God with us, and he will be with you through everything. David knew this, and he knew that he needed to seek God's counsel. So we see a little bit later in chapter 5, the Philistines, this thorn in Israel's side. These people had constantly opposed the people of God throughout their history, and they rise up against David. And look at verse 19 with me. It says, so David inquired of the Lord. He asked God, God, what do I do? He says, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? And the Lord answered him, go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands. So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. And he said this, get this, as waters break out, think about a dam that's been holding back waters, and then it suddenly breaks and all the waters flood. As waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Baal Perazim. You know what those two Hebrew words mean? It means the Lord of breakthroughs. Some of you have been praying about a breakthrough, waiting on God to break into your situation, to provide relief. Well, David was overjoyed in this moment. And when God finally broke through, he took to his prayer journal again. Psalm 18, we read it in verses 43 through 44. He said, you've delivered me from the attacks of the people. You've made me the head of nations. He knows all of his success is coming from the Lord. People I did not know now serve me. Foreigners, like that king who helped him build the palace, they're cowering before me. And as soon as they hear of me, they obey me. David didn't do everything right. In fact, he made some serious mistakes along the way. But his heart was intent to please the Lord and prioritize the things of God. In whatever season of life, that will set us up to lead wisely. It says that David shepherded and led the people wisely. But here's why this is so important, guys. We are much more prone to handle adversity better than we're able to handle success. You may have noticed that quite a few people, even this week, have fallen from high positions, have been exposed, have been scandalized, right? There are plenty of pastors, men and women, who achieve great things, and then guess what? We get comfortable. We think, now that I'm successful, I don't need God. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to be on my guard. Listen, there are temptations that come in those moments that are more sinister than any that you face when you're in the time of adversity. We need to take note of what we're to do in these moments of prosperity and blessing. Spiritually speaking, most of us handle adversity better than prosperity. We navigate affliction better than promotions. And so we're going to need to seek God continually and have him give us counsel and wisdom to stay focused on him. That'll be especially true for the season ahead. And that brings me to number three, the third thing from the mountaintop. As we get clarity and vision, the third thing that we're going to need to ask the Lord to do is to help us see the future clearly. This, for David, takes place in 2 Samuel chapter 7. David gets in his mind, I want to honor the Lord. It's even comes out of a good motive. I want to honor the Lord. I want to build a palace, a temple, a holy dwelling for the Lord. And the prophet Nathan comes to him on behalf of the Lord and speaks God's words to him and says, nope, that's not going to happen. It'll happen one day, but it won't be you that does it. You're not going to get the glory for that. That's going to happen later. And so we see David has to deal with some loss here, the death of a good dream. Have you dealt with that before? where you had something you wanted to do, you wanted to see it happen, you dreamed of something, and God said no. David seems to have responded very well, but how do you respond when that happens? We have to lay our plans before the Lord and wait on Him. Sometimes when you're praying and asking God for wisdom for the future, what steps to take, you don't hear anything. And usually that means wait a little bit longer. Let God make it clear to you, and He will. Sometimes we have good ideas, but that doesn't mean they're God's ideas. Also, we need to recognize that just because God is with someone, they can make a decision without God, right? That can happen for you and for me, and we don't want to be those people. We want to submit our plans to God and let Him direct our steps. Sometimes when we start to talk about the future, people get a little anxious, a little bit nervous. Just like we said, some of our yesterdays need to be trusted to the Lord. Some of our tomorrows need to be left with the Lord without worry. So we need not fear. I love what Corrie ten Boom wrote. This woman who suffered such terrible things, she said this: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We can trust His plan and His promises. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, there's this beautiful promise about God's future plans given to David. It's even why we're talking about David today. This promise is in verse 12. Let's look at it together. The prophet Nathan says to David, "When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors," God says, "I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish His kingdom." Verse 16, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Those words are only fulfilled in Jesus, our true and worthy King. Now, how did David respond to that news? We see it in verse 18. He's just completely humbled. It says he kneels before God. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you've brought me this far?" David was so humbled, he knew that he did not deserve God's goodness and blessings and promises. And in Jesus, the same is true for me and you. Jesus, the King ultimate, has provided for me and you blessings beyond what we deserve. He has been gracious to lead us from where we've been and to put us in a place that we're at and to give us abundant wisdom and be accessible to us through the cross of Jesus, speaking to us constantly, and He will give us clarity and guidance for the future as well. So let me ask you, is Jesus your King? Are you trusting His promises and His plan for your life? There's going to come a time in all of our lives that we're going to need to seek the Lord and ask Him from the mountaintop, in seasons of success, in seasons of adversity, "God, help me to make sense of what You're doing in my past. Help me to make sense of my present. Help me to make sense and to step forward boldly, courageously with You into the future." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for how You are so gracious and good to us. You are so much better to us than we deserve. You've given us, through Your King Jesus, hope and life, blessing, comfort, security. God, we are overwhelmed with joy as we celebrate the things You've done in our lives, the ways You've shown up and shown Your power. And God, none of us deserves Your blessing, but You give it to us anyway. So God, help us to step into our present circumstances with wisdom. Help us to suffer affliction well, drawing our strength from You. And God, help us to take courage and take heart as we trust your plan and your promises for the future. We ask these things and more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast from First Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. To learn more about First Baptist Cumming, visit us online at fbccumming.org.